The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. It is Thursday, December 9th, and we have some more football. We kick off week 14 with a little matchup between the Steelers and the Vikings. If you're watching this on YouTube, subscribe to the channel, like the video, tell us your favorite bet for Thursday night. Make sure you turn on alerts because we will go live after every single primetime game Sunday, Monday, and Thursday, and you can come hang with us and win a Brinson Sucks hat or some other sort of Pick Six swag, potentially. Joining me to break down Steelers and Vikings, Tyler Sullivan. Sully, what's up, buddy?
What's going on, Will? How you doing?
I'm good. Can't complain.
Yeah, I like it. That's good.
Steelers-Vikings is like a...
It's a can't-complain kind of game.
That's a great way to describe it. It is a can't-complain kind of game. You know, we get two playoff-ish teams. Two teams in the hunt. This is a big game. In fact, you know what? It's not like Bucks Pats, but it's definitely like a must win game for the Vikings at 5-7, and then the Steelers, who are still in the hunt in the division. Baltimore's 8-4, Pittsburgh 6-5-1. Cincy ahead of them at 7-5 as well. Pittsburgh is the eighth seed in the AFC. I don't think 6-5-1 is not better than 7-5-1 is not better than 7-5. Can't be, right?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. Because it's like half a loss is, yeah.
Right.
So, in other words, if Buffalo's traveling to Tampa, if they fall to 7-6 and Pittsburgh's 7-5-1 and Indianapolis loses and they're 7-7, and I think they play somebody crappy. So I'm just suggesting that, you know, this is how Pittsburgh climbs into the playoffs.
Baltimore's playing Cleveland. They're going to Cleveland. I mean, they're, you know, certainly ways for this to kind of unfold for them.
The AFC is still wide open. Where these two teams sit, everything's out there.
Yeah.
Like the Steelers can still make the playoffs. They can still technically win the division, I think. And Minnesota's dead in the division with Green Bay at 9-3. But, you know, San Francisco and Washington, 6-6. They'll take care of business, and you get to hope some chaos unfolds over the course of the weekend. Unfortunately for Minnesota, they will have to do it without Christian Darrisaw, their rookie tackle, who has been ruled out after he didn't practice for three straight days. Also ruled out on Wednesday, Adam Thielen, who didn't practice Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday. Good news is, though, so offensively, that's not ideal. Defensively, and Dalvin Cook on offense is questionable. We won't know about him until Thursday, probably right before the game kicks off, when inactives are due. He was limited Tuesday and Wednesday. Kind of surprising he's already that close to being back. We were under the impression he was going to miss multiple weeks. But defensively, the Vikings will get back Mackenzie Alexander, or they will get Mackenzie Alexander, Anthony Barr, Bashaud Breeland, there's Eric Kendricks, and Patrick Peterson. Huge burst or huge surge of players back for that defense. Pittsburgh, I think Pittsburgh's is pretty straightforward. Maybe Ben was on the injury report.
Yep, he was on it. Claypool was on it to begin the week. I think they both missed Monday, but they've been back.
Okay, so it looks like they should be. Let's see. Here's the Wednesday report. Roethlisberger full practice. Chase Claypool full practice. Joe Hayden DNP. Hayden's out. Robert Spillane's out. BJ Finney's out, and Isaiah Bugs is out. Otherwise, they got everybody else they need. Cameron Hayward, no problem. Roethlisberger, Chase Claypool, some pretty big guys, and Trey Turner, pretty big too. So I would say Pittsburgh probably has the better overall injury setup here as we head into the latter part of the season, or the final weeks of the season. But Minnesota, maybe you trade some of those offensive injuries, maybe for the defensive guys coming back. I don't know.
Maybe. I mean, you know, you're talking about Dalvin Cook. It's a huge piece.
And Thielen's a huge piece. Yeah.
You know, it'd be great if you get Dalvin Cook back. That's obviously, you know, like I was going to say, like a big piece. But you are still missing a star or an up-and-coming tackle in Christian Darrisaw and Adam Thielen, who has been a key cog in this passing game. As much love Justin Jefferson gets, and rightfully so, he's awesome. But Thielen is a guy that really stirs the drink for that offense just as much as Jefferson and Cook too.
Yeah. So Vikings minus -3 as of the last time that I looked, and I will refresh Caesars to make sure we have the most recent line. Yep. Vikings minus -3, minus -120. Steelers plus +3, plus +100. Vikings are minus -170 on the money line. Steelers plus +145. Total here, 43.5, has dropped a point or so in the last, 24 hours, give or take. What's your look here on the spread?
Well, I like that we both kind of differ on this one. I feel like we've agreed a little bit too much. So this one, we're a little bit different. I like the Steelers with the points here. And I understand it's kind of a donkey play because you have them coming off that emotional win off of the Ravens. You know, easily could be a letdown opportunity as they go on the road to Minnesota. Minnesota, on the other hand, is trying to bounce back from that loss, that last second loss to Detroit. I totally see all that. But for me, I still like where the Steelers are going, and more so, I don't really love the Vikings, and it really doesn't have much to do with that loss to Detroit. I mean, teams have these losses.
The Steelers, this is a matchup of the only two teams to have not beaten the Lions this year.
Right, exactly. This is the Lions Bowl, I guess.
Yeah, the loser Lions Bowl.
For me, it's a couple of different factors where I'm fading the Vikings here. It's more so fading the Vikings, but they keep these games relatively close. So anytime I can get points at a key number, obviously 3 being a field goal here, I like to get. At home, they haven't been particularly great. They're 2-9 against the spread over their last 9 home games. They're 0-6 against the spread as a home favorite. They're under .500 this season against the spread in general. To me, it just feels like they aren't able to kind of get the job done at home, or at least keep it. They don't really, you know, blow teams out at home where you see, you would think that they
don't blow teams out, period. I mean, right. Of their games this season, they have, I lost my place on the Vikings here on our stat sheet. What is it? It's like 11 of their 12 games have been decided by one possession. 9 of 12 games this season have been decided on the final play. 7 blown leads and 5 opponent game-winning drives allowed. Most in the NFL. 101 points allowed after the 2-minute warning in the second or fourth quarter. Most in the NFL. Big Ben, by the way, tied for the most game-winning drives in the NFL this year with 5 of them. So when
you factor all that stuff in, for me, it's more fading the Vikings for that reason. It's not because they lost to Detroit and it's like, oh, they gave them their first win. That really doesn't have much to do with that. It's just that they've struggled in key spots. And one other area that I think is kind of going a little bit unnoticed, or at least it's something that should be brought up here, they're one of the most penalized teams in the NFL. If you go back over the course of this season, they've had the 6th most penalties in the league, and it's for the 3rd most penalty yards. That's something that's just the DNA part of a team where it's, I don't know what's going on with Mike Zimmer, if they're not disciplined or whatever's going on there. But to me, that is a huge red flag in a game where it could be low scoring. It could be determined by one possession. If all of a sudden you're starting to have these penalties that really put you in the wrong direction or moving a team forward, that's going to shoot yourself in the foot.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I'm sort of this is one of the harder games to pick this week.
Yeah, it is. It definitely is.
It's weird because it's a 3-point spread. You would think that makes life easier. Just figure out who you think is going to win. I wanted to be all over the Vikings. I think I really wanted to like the Vikings, and then I started thinking about, like, man, look at these stats and like what they've given up, and you know, these game-winning drives. You know, they got all banged up on offense. Steelers defense. The Vikings are a better team by DVOA and a better team defensively by DVOA. That's my one thing here. I think that they can really limit what the Steelers do on offense. Now, there's a really good chance that this all ends up being like, it ends up being nothing, and that, you know, it's a 3-point game. You know, like we talk about the spread all week, and it's just a push. Like, that wouldn't surprise me at all. I don't love taking the Vikings minus -3. Especially with that juice, just because it does feel like, you know, they're going to let the Steelers have a chance to try and win. But I sort of believe you're buying low on Minnesota, selling high on Pittsburgh, as you point out, coming off the emotional win over Baltimore. That was sort of not their Super Bowl, but I mean, that was they were 4-point dogs at home to Baltimore.
Not only that, but it's that moment where all the reports about Ben Roethlisberger possibly being his last season, and you just kind of have that almost that huge game where it's just so emotional, not only to keep your season alive for the playoffs, but also, you know, it could be a swan song a little bit for Ben Roethlisberger. Sure. Totally, you know, and you have that emotional win, totally an opportunity for a letdown here. I don't dispute that at all.
Yeah. In fact, if Minnesota hadn't been involved in all these really close games, I would feel a lot better about taking the Vikings. It's like in a vacuum, the Vikings should beat the Steelers by more than three at home in a game that looks like it's probably going to be pretty low scoring. Now, the Vikings, their games go over all the time, but we both like the under here. I think it just sort of turns into, with the injuries to Minnesota on offense, I think they're way more conservative. And whether, you know, if Dalvin plays, they'll split it up with Dalvin and Alexander Mattison, just pound the ball. I think the Steelers will reciprocally just hand the ball off to Najee Harris and maybe take some looks, you know, take a few shots down the field, but they don't really get vertical that often. And I just feel like this could be a low scoring game where I don't know if the Vikings can stop anybody late because they haven't really done it at all. But they've also had a bunch of blown leads. Like, they've had these leads. Can they hold on to one if their defense is there? I'm gonna take the Vikings. I don't love it. I think I might like the under a little bit more.
Yeah.
Although 43.5, you're starting to get pretty low where 44 is a key number.
Yep, totally. It opened up at like 46.5 and it's ticked down considerably. And for me, I'm with you too. I like the under here. And you do say, you know, all these games with the Vikings, or a lot of these games, they go over. That's kind of true, but also when you really shrink it in a little bit more and you start looking at what they've done at home, I think for the season they're 7-5. The over is 7-5. The four out of the five times it hasn't gone over in the under, it's 4-1. The under is 4-1 at home for them this season.
Mike Zimmer is traditionally a much better coach against the spread at home for whatever reason. That place is loud as hell. So far in the season, they have allowed 17, 14, 17, 20 to the Cowboys, by the way, 20 to the Chargers, 31 points at home. The 31 was to Green Bay in the game. They won 34-31. So they are, 2-1, 3-1, 3-2, 4-2 at home, and really limiting teams scoring when they're at home. Now, I mean, again, Seahawks, Browns, Lions, the Cowboys, Packers. Or maybe I erroneously included the Chargers in there. Sorry. How many games they had at home?
I believe they've had five.
Yeah, they had five games at home.
Yep.
Yeah, so they got three more games at home and two more on the road. That's a pretty nice little setup for a team trying to push for the playoffs. I feel like sort of like we did about or at least I did at Pittsburgh last week, that this is Minnesota spot. Oh, Dallas. Minnesota spot to make a push to try. Like, they are a desperate team. Pittsburgh can take a loss and still be in the mix. Dallas, I mean, why do I keep going Dallas? What the hell? Minnesota cannot take a loss or else their season's basically over.
Well, I'll tell you this. Well, it's not even that Minnesota can't afford a loss because the season's over. Mike Zimmer can't afford a loss because he is not in hot water here. I mean, that seat pretty hot. You lose in a big spot here and an end your season, you're kind of teetering to that territory of, okay, is he going to get fired or is he going to make it through the rest of the year?
Yep, that's a great call. All right, I'm going to take the Vikings -3 and then the under 43.5. I'd consider buying it up to 44. Don't love doing it, but that's a key number. So, let's take a break and when we come back, we'll make some, and you're on the Steelers and then the under as well. Let's take a break and when we come back, we will make some prop picks.
I'm Trey Wingo. And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features, like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads, ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives, you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating, so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads, so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid. Wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. All right. Vikings player props. Let's see how many overs we can possibly put in here. We both like the under. Having said that, I will be taking the over on.
Having said that, these teams are going to light it up.
I have a hard time finding unders on. I naturally just look for numbers I think are short. And despite this enormous number, I still think it's short. Justin Jefferson over 92 and a half receiving yards. That's a huge number, but there's no Adam Thielen. They're going to target him. Joe Hayden's out. Justin Jefferson's going to get his yards. I have a hard time believing he doesn't get over 100 yards in this game, probably something like 110. I like Jefferson. I mean, do you prefer to have like 88 and a half or 89 and a half? I like Jefferson over 92 and a half.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. It's a huge number. It's kind of the same
big number.
It's the same way I feel about the Deontay Johnson number. I think his is like 82 and a half something like that. And I like his over too. It's why I was too afraid to put him down just because I kind of got scared away from the number and opted for Claypool instead at 51 and a half. To me, it's just, I get a little too nervous. Again, both of those guys, it's the same thing, Johnson and Jefferson. The volume is just so huge that even if you don't have, even if you have an inefficient day, if you're getting 10 targets, I mean, you could still find a way to get yourself over on that just because of the volume alone. So no, I do like it. It's just something that I tend to try to stay away from with those numbers so high. That being said, Najee Harris over 7.5 rushing yards. I like that one a lot because, it's a volume thing. It's another one of those scenarios where he's going to get around 20 to 22 touches. It just feels like that's where it's going to be for him, especially if you're somebody like me who thinks the Steelers are going to win this game and you're taking the points there, you're taking the money line. You would want Najee Harris in this as well because they're going to run clock. They're going to kind of really try to manage the game there through him. He's gone over this number a decent amount here in the Vikings. They're allowing over the last 2 weeks. And again, they're getting guys back, but over the last 2 weeks, 154 rushing yards per game. I mean, that's just on the ground. It's just a huge number there. And for somebody with the volume like Najee has, it's something that you should look at.
Najee has actually ticked up a yard since we put these picks in. So has Justin Jefferson, for whatever that's worth. I mean, 93 and a half for Justin Jefferson on Caesars now. KJ Osborne, by the way, his number was like in the mid-30s when they opened it. And that would have been a play for me. It's now over under 42 and a half minus 135. That's a little steep, but he's going to be out there. I mean, I think he's just their wide receiver too now, with Adam Thielen out. So yeah.
It's either him. It's him in spirit. It's him as on the depth chart, but it could be Conklin, Tyler Conklin.
Yeah. Or maybe he's the third option out there, right. And Conklin's the number two option. Conklin's total over 39 and a half. So KJ Osborne, it's probably a little high at plus minus 135. But I mean, 42 and a half, you can get there pretty easily if there's any kind of movement here, and this just isn't a total like 43. 43 and a half is also, the total here. I mean, you can have a 20 to 17 game where there's plenty of offense without it being just an electric shootout, I think it's very possible in this particular game. So looking at these receiving numbers, I have a Cousins prop that I took, as you can see there. You can see it on youtube.com/pick6. Hit that like button if you're watching with us. Cousins over 32 and a half completions, which similar, you have a Kirk Cousins over as well, 1.5 passing touchdowns.
Yeah, to me, it's just he's thrown for multiple touchdowns in a ton of these games. It's just, and especially, I made that with the idea that Cook wasn't going to play. So, that might have to be changed a little bit, sure. Or at least, don't hammer it as much as you would if you thought Cook was going to play. That's I'm softening.
I just want -120 is not bad there for that. You know, usually you see -1.5 overs like -160.
Right.
I wouldn't want to mess with that. -120, I think I'm fine with. And it's not entirely, it's not out of the question they'll throw to Cook near the goal line. But yes, when they get down near the goal line, they do like to run Dalvin Cook. And the other one,
he's hit that in 6 of the last 7 games, multiple touchdowns. You know, yeah, so it's not like you're asking him to do something he's never done before.
No, they use Cousins in the red zone all the time, and he could also get a deep shot to Justin Jefferson.
Right.
You know, we get one deep shot to Justin Jefferson, all of a sudden we're both hitting those top props we have, and then hopefully we both catch this one because we are on the exact same one. Chase Claypool over 51.5 receiving yards. That one has also ticked up a yard on Caesars up to 52.5. I'm fine with that. I think 55.5 maybe is probably where my stop point is.
Yep.
Because I think he gets over 60 yards. Ben, the one issue with Claypool versus Diontae Johnson is Diontae is such a target hog that they funnel things through him. But with Patrick Peterson back, there's a decent chance that Pat P's following around Diontae Johnson, and the Steelers decided to focus in on hitting Chase Claypool. And if you get one, all you need is one shot down the field to Claypool, and he'll pick up 30 quick yards, and all of a sudden we're, you know, a couple more catches and we're good to go there.
I mean, you look at what he's done over the last few weeks here. Last 3 weeks, Chase Claypool, 22.7 yards per catch. It's just a monster number. And that's really kind of been picking up since Juju Smith-Schuster's gone down. So you're talking about 2 or 3 tries here where if him and Ben just need to connect on a couple here and you're in play. And the Vikings, again, getting guys back, that defense is going to be a little bit better. Like you said, Pat P coming back, maybe that impacts Diontae Johnson a little bit more, you know, for whatever it is. But the Vikings this season, they're allowing 12.4 yards per reception. That's the third most in the NFL. I mean, that, you know, when you're starting to factor in these you know, home run hitters like Claypool is, that's something that you like.
Yeah. So his last 3 games, I think you pointed out, 22.7 yards per reception, also averaging 75.7 yards per game. He would have cleared 51.5 in every single one of those games. Only got to 52 against the Ravens. Only had 3 targets, but 17 targets the 2 games prior to that, and nothing under 5 targets. So that was his lowest targeted game against Baltimore. I think a team that gives up big yardage like this in Baltimore, I mean, in Minnesota,
first they were Dallas, now they're Baltimore.
Yeah, I know. I don't know what the hell's going on. I'm not even like looking at anything. I'm just saying Dallas over and over again in my head. A team like Minnesota that gives up big yardage like this is susceptible to Claypool in a pretty aggressive way. So I could easily see where they're targeting him down the field, and we get this in the first half with 2 big receptions. All right. Oh, first touchdown. I always forget about the first touchdown score. The odds on the first touchdown score with Dalvin Cook, we're still waiting on that. I probably wouldn't bet it until closer to game time because the odds here are just screwed up. I mean, like,
it changes everything. I mean, we're talking about, you know, Najee Harris is the top guy at +460, and he's the top running back for the Steelers. Cook's going to factor in there if he's playing. He's going to be right there with him.
And you have Justin Jefferson at +525.
Yep.
And then Diontae Johnson +625. 3 guys under 7-1 is outrageous for a first touchdown prop. Chase Claypool, 10-1. KJ Osborne, 11-1. You've got Osborne on the list. He's actually down from, I think that's a good call there for Osborne. You know, if he's out there, if he's getting the 3 that stood out to me are right in this range. Osborne, Conklin, and Freiermuth. After that, it's like D.D. Westbrook, Ray McCloud, C.J. Ham, Zach Gentry, James Washington, Kirk Cousins. None of those are intriguing to me.
Really just falls off.
Cousins was 26-1 earlier, dropped down to 30-1. 30-1 or better, I might take Cousins just because I could see a 1-yard skirt, like a 1-yard little Drew Brees thing or like a little scramble. And if you didn't bet it at 30-1, you'll be mad. So I'll probably include Cousins, but we both had Freiermuth. I think that's a good call. And then, of course, I had Conklin. You had Osborne. I'm probably not betting any of these numbers until I see the Dalvin. Because Madison's not here either. Like Madison, right. You could have Cook if maybe Cook's active and he's 4.5-1, and Madison's 13-1. I'm betting Madison.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And it's also going to push guys like Conklin and Osborne up a little bit more. So even if you still like those guys, those odds are going to change more in your favor if Cook is playing and once they add Madison.
Correct. So you're probably better off to hold off on betting that if you know, until we know about Cook is what our larger point is here. Okay, let's take a break. All right, that's it for the podcast itself. We're now going to venture over to, well, we did this on YouTube. We're gonna have a separate YouTube with the where we break down simply the DFS portion of the program. So thanks for listening to the podcast. Thanks for watching. Check us out on the separate video where we handle everything DFS related.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Dan Orlovsky, are you still a Jaden Daniels is the best quarterback available in the draft guy?
I think the three things that make it stand out for me are, number one, I think his ball placement versus man coverage is the best in the draft. Every quarterback in the NFL is accurate. He's got the best on tape. Number two, most transferable stuff to the NFL. And then I think the third thing is pocket peace.
Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.